Blog Talk Radio. We start today's show talking to the president of the University of Virgin Islands, Dr. David Hall. His campus sustained extensive damage during Hurricanes Irma and Hurricane Maria. Roofs vigorously blown away, buildings and cars destroyed, and many students and staff are struggling to rebuild. You'll learn how, what's going on that important island, and what actually you can do to help. We'll also highlight the upcoming November 2nd Multicultural Conference and the exciting speakers who are delivering a variety of presentations, all focused on women, work, and celebrating self-worth. You'll want to share this show with your friends and colleagues in the days ahead. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thanks so much for listening. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I'm going to jump right in the show. We have a pre-recorded interview I just did yesterday with Dr. David Hall. He is the president of 8 years of the University of the Virgin Islands. You'll have a chance to find out what's going on the islands, who is being helped, how you can help, and the important thing, just to remember, of how we're all connected in this natural disaster season that we're in. No person is really an island. We really are connected to one another. And this is done because we know that Dominica has been hit badly. We did a show on that. Also, the Puerto Rican situation just doesn't get any better politically. It's also quite cantankerous right now. So that whole region was hit on various fronts, and we wanted to today focus on the Virgin Islands and most specifically with how you can help the University of the Virgin Islands. So we're going to go right into the interview with Dr. David Hall. Hello and welcome to our show. Oh, boy, where do I start when you think about the devastation of a natural disaster? Not just one natural disaster, but two, in the form of hurricanes. First, Hurricane Irma, and then Hurricane Maria, hitting all three islands in different segmentations, and the impact of what has happened as a result of the devastation that's taking place. I wanted to bring on one of the leading educational experts, now the president for the last 8 years of the University of the Virgin Islands, to give us a bird's eye view of what's taking place now, and also how you can help and get involved in the reconstruction of what is one of the premier institutions in the West Indies. Dr. David Hall, thank you very much for being a guest on my program. We have known each other for many years, and I continue to admire and respect you for all the great work that you do, not just in the Virgin Islands, but certainly how it started off here in the Massachusetts area and elsewhere. Thanks so much for being a guest on my program.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here. And likewise, I have deep respect for you and the work that you have been doing, and so it's a privilege to be able to share with you today.
Great, great. And your wife, Marilyn, I give my regards to her. We worked together 30 years ago in a wonderful organization and have been friends ever since.
Yeah, she speaks fondly of you now as she probably did 30 years ago.
Great. So take us in. A lot of people know about the Virgin Islands because of the beaches and because of going on vacation, but they may not know about the University of the Virgin Islands. Tell us more about that great institution.
Well, thank you. And we are often overlooked and forgotten, so I cherish the opportunity to share more about UVI. We are an HBCU, historically Black college and university, the only one outside of the mainland. Mm. We just celebrated our 55th anniversary. Mm. So as HBCUs go, we are on the young side, but we have the same mission. 90% of our students come from the Virgin Islands, and they are predominantly African, Caribbean, African-American students. We have about 2,400 students spread across two campuses. We have a campus on St. Thomas and another one on St. Croix. We also have an extension campus on St. Martin that's relatively small, but we try to serve that island as well, even though it's outside of the Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole host of degrees. We have about 48 different degrees that we offer at both the associate level, the bachelor's level. We have about 7 master's degrees. And 2 years ago, we started our first PhD program in creative leadership for innovation and change. Mm-hmm. And we've been working on developing a medical school here in the Virgin Islands, which, if we are successful, will be the first LCME accredited medical school, English speaking medical school in the Caribbean.
Wow.
So the university has been educating Virgin Islanders and others for the last 55 years and has made an enormous contribution to the development of the Virgin Islands and the Eastern Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that Hurricane Irma first hit St. Joseph, I believe, and then St. Thomas, and then Hurricane Maria came and swept through St. Croix. So those two hurricanes did considerable damage throughout the region. I've had shows about Dominica because of their circumstances.
Right.
We continue to hear things about Puerto Rico and how terrible things are there. Give us an update of what's taking place here on the Virgin Islands.
Yes. Well, you are right. Hurricane Irma was the first level of devastation that occurred. You know, you say a Category 5 hurricane, but that doesn't really capture what happened. You know, we had winds of 185 miles an hour blowing through your campus and blowing through the territory, taking off roofs, pulling up trees, destroying structures. So on our St. Thomas campus, we were really hit hard for under Irma. We had approximately 7 different buildings, from our premier performance arts center to our school of business to other administrative buildings, that were just destroyed. The roof came off, or it was so badly hit that they're not usable. But other buildings, though not destroyed, were also affected with water damage, et cetera. We had to house 170 students on campus during the hurricane.
Oh.
We had encouraged all of the other local students to go to their personal residences so we wouldn't have as many students on campus.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine having 170 students in a room or in a facility that only houses 70, but it is the most secure residence hall, and we wanted to make sure the students were secure. So mm-hmm. our staff worked with them. They weathered the storm. I was in radio contact with them throughout the storm. And fortunately, we came out with no student being injured and no
Good.
Death. In that regard.
That's great.
And we thought we were back to recovery. Our St. Croix campus was not affected by Irma. And so I had a town hall meeting with them, and they were like, hey, we're behind you. We are going to keep operating, and we will help you out. And then a week later, Maria
came.
So we had to stop the recovery process and move into getting prepared for Maria. And unfortunately, it had a more devastating impact on our St. Croix campus. So one of our premier buildings, the Research and Technology Park, which housed our College of Science and Math, and mm-hmm. one of the newest buildings on campus, was destroyed. It was still standing, but the roof, portions of the roof is gone. And the other problem you find is that the mold infestation just grows rapidly into the walls. And so by the time we were able to try to recover, it was just too far gone.
Wow.
Our residence hall on St. Croix was also damaged, the top level. So students had to move down to the bottom level and double up. And continue to move forward, lost mm-hmm. power, running water. Mm-hmm. But again, we were blessed that we had students and staff and faculty who came together to work hard to try to save this semester.
Mm-hmm.
So I declared to the students right after Irma hit that we were going to save the semester, that
okay.
we would hold them harmless. And if they wanted to withdraw, that we would certainly allow them to.
Mm-hmm.
But if they wanted to stay, that every course that had been offered, we were going to offer it. And so last Monday, we were able to resume classes.
Mm-hmm.
Every class is on the schedule like it was before. We've had to engage in some educational creativity because we're still under a curfew, so we can't have night class. And because the devastation throughout the territory was so great, you have students who don't have homes.
And ask you about that.
And power is down, so we can't expect them to be able to study easily at home.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to come up with a different schedule. We put courses online. We mm-hmm. put courses on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Asked faculty members to record their lectures so that if a student misses a class, they can go to the library and view the class. We've had to extend the semester. So it's really been a devastating hit, but it's also been a wonderful example of resilience and collective work and yeah. responsibility, because the institution is still moving forward despite those losses. We estimated that our damage to buildings is about $51 million.
Wow.
And that doesn't take into account the other losses that you suffer when you go through something like this.
Let me ask you, Dr. Hall, two things. Number one, what is the status of your electrical grid? And number two, what's the status of water at UVI and maybe water throughout the territory?
Yeah. Our situation is an exception to what's happening throughout the island
mm-hmm.
because we have always had backup generators on campus for not only events like this,
mm-hmm.
but in the Caribbean in general, power is not always stable, so it helps. So about a couple of days after Irma, we were able to get on to generator power. It's not as stable,
mm-hmm.
But that at least helped us. St. Croix took longer after Maria to get on generator power,
mm-hmm.
and that also meant that we had running water. Right now, though, only about 20% of the territory has running water and power, unless people have individually gone out and bought a generator.
Generators, right.
We are now on our St. Thomas campus back on permanent power. We were fortunate that we were one of the areas identified for permanent power, in part because we have given up our sports and fitness center so that it could be the command center for FEMA on throughout the territory.
And they have
so
to have power.
To make sure that power came for FEMA.
Well,
so
that's a lucky location for you guys.
Power.
Yes.
Our St. Croix campus is still on generator power.
Uh-huh.
And so as you drive through the island, there are no street lights and there's very little light at night. And that's why the curfew exists, because it's very dangerous to mm-hmm. be driving on the roads once the sun goes down.
Very quickly, do they have an estimated time when full power will be up? I know in Puerto Rico, they're looking at sometime in December. Not sure about Dominica and some of the other affected areas. What about the Virgin Islands?
Yeah, it is the same estimate, which is that by the end of December, they estimate that 90% of individuals will have permanent power.
Okay.
So we hope that that occurs. There have been a number of additional utility vehicles and workers who've come into the territory in the last week. So we are seeing more activity, and the hope is that they will stay on track to meet that particular goal.
We're giving you all this information. My guest today is Dr. David Hall. He is the president of the University of the Virgin Islands, having campuses on the island of St. Thomas and also St. Croix. We wanted to give you this overview of what's taking place right now on the ground so that you can hear it firsthand about the devastation now of two hurricanes. Dr. Hall, what can my listeners do to help in this critically important, dire situation that you're functioning in, even though classes are now up and running very creatively?
Yeah. Well, the best way is for them to assist in our UVI Rise Relief Fund, because we are pretty confident that our insurance and FEMA will help us restore the buildings on campus. It's mm-hmm. going to take a while, but that will happen. But we are asking faculty members and staff to help us rebuild when they are homeless, when they've lost cars and so many other things. So the UVI Rise Relief Fund is the way in which people can contribute to helping our employees and our students. Some students who work and go to school have lost jobs and now can't pay tuition. Mm. Others have lost their home and now they need to live on campus and they were not anticipating needing funds to live.
Right.
So individuals could go to our website, which is www.uvi.edu. Mm. That is uvi.edu, and scroll down for the UVI Rise Relief Fund, okay. Then we would appreciate receiving any contribution so that we can assist our employees, students, and staff. The other way, and you are helping in this regard, is to tell our story. I think and this is to take nothing away from Florida and Houston and Puerto Rico, because those are very deserving places that also experience losses.
Mm-hmm.
But the Virgin Islands, because we are smaller, we get lost and the story is not told. And so major donors, philanthropists, and even federal agencies that could assist us in even greater ways may not know about our story. So we ask the listeners to communicate to others. I am willing to even give my email address, which is dhall@uvi.edu. That's dhall@uvi.edu. And so if someone knows of an organization, a potential donor who we should reach out to and share materials with, I would appreciate receiving that information.
You know, I'd love to see, and this is a direct appeal to those who are listening, because I do have people listening all over the country and beyond, in Africa, in parts of Europe. There may be a university that may want to come and partner with you to help in the renovation and of the buildings that will take place, but also this very important drive that's going to help the students, the faculty members, those who are just really pouring their hearts and souls out on campus but have no home to go back to.
Yeah.
So perhaps if you're listening, there may be a school, an organization, a group, a donor who hasn't necessarily come forward and helped out with some of the other efforts. This is a great need. And as Dr. Hall has said, a school and islands where people vacation, they have a great time, but now is when the need is great and your support would be very, very helpful. So again, I'm going to repeat this. The main website for the school is www.uvi.edu. That's uvi.edu. On that homepage, you can scroll down and see the Rise Relief Fund. And Dr. Hall has also released his own personal email address, and that is dhall, D as in David, H-A-L-L, .uvi.edu. This is a place where an individual, company, people banding together, folks who don't believe in very big nonprofit organizations, getting the money all the way down to where the people are going to receive it, This is your chance now to really help out and give where the help is really, really needed. Dr. David Hall, thank you so much for being a guest on my program, and we'll stay in touch to make sure that things move forward in the days and weeks ahead.
Thank you very much, Carol.
And, thank you.
All the best to you and to all of your listeners, and we deeply appreciate your support.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, that's the 411 on what's taking place on the Virgin Islands. And again, I hope that you will share this with your friends and relatives. There are lots of ways where people can help out beyond just looking at horrible pictures on television. You can help out very sustainably so with this very worthy cause, and I hope that you'll do so. We're going to switch gears now and talk about the November 2nd Multicultural Conference. I'm excited because it is exactly 2 weeks away. And we have an all-star lineup with just wonderful speakers who are busy preparing their messages focused on our topic, women, work, and celebrating self-worth. Now, this conference will be held on November 2nd. That's 2 weeks from today, say November 2nd, at the Mass College of Art and Design at 621 Huntington Avenue in Boston. It's in the area where all the universities and colleges are. Very easy to get to on public transportation on the E line, on the Green line. Get off at Longwood, and you are literally steps away from this conference at the on the campus. And most importantly, it's an opportunity for those who are either in the field of diversity or multiculturalism, those who want to learn about it. There are going to be staff people who will be there. I'm really urging you to bring your staff. It's one thing for you to come to this conference, and even if you can't come, if you can send at least one or two people from your company so that they can be a part of this really important endeavor, I guarantee you it's going to benefit your company and your organization just because of the people who are going to be there, the knowledge that's going to take place, the networking, the food is going to be great. We have a great hot lunch prepared by Chef Lee. We'll have a continental breakfast in the morning for you. So we're going to feed you. We're definitely going to feed you, both physically and also mentally and intellectually. You're going to be fed many ways. Our morning speaker, I'm flying out. We've made the reservations, and she is all ready to come here, is Ayanna Corbin. She is a Phi Beta Kappa graduate of Spelman College, went on to get her master's degree. She's worked for some of the big companies in the country. She's lived in Malaysia. She travels extensively, and now she's with Google. She's an HR business professional with Google, and she's going to bring us firsthand knowledge from her point of view as being a corporate woman, what it means to be a corporate woman working at Google. I'm really excited about her message and how she's going to deliver it and how it's going to be received. We also are going to have greetings from the president of the college. He will actually greet us before Ayanna speaks or either shortly after she speaks. That's Dr. David Nelson. So he will be bringing us greetings from the campus. And then we have our morning distinguished panel that will take place after Ayanna speaks. And their topic will be trends and lessons learned, women in the workplace. We have Karen Young. She's the vice president over at Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. We have Doreen Nichols, who is the vice president at Eversource. We have Dr. Lorna Arise Thomas. I happen to know her well. She's my daughter. She's a mental health professional for several years. Fran Dichner is a very extraordinary entrepreneur, small business owner, has won many, many awards. And we're hoping that Barbara Catchings will join us. She is a longtime HR director at the Boston Medical Center. So these are some really power-packed women, every one of them extremely experienced, ready to give us the knowledge that we need to partake in terms of women in the workplace and the trends and lessons learned. And then we have, but there's more. Then we have eight different roundtable presentations where you'll have a chance to pick two of these eight. It's going to be difficult because they're all really good. We have strategies for sustaining an employee resource group. Those are very important small groups based on ethnicity or popular topics where people band together within their organizations, form their own group, and they are often sponsored either by a senior executive or somebody in positions of power so that they will become sustainable. And who better to present that than Vice President Lynette Sanders from State Street Corporation? This is a very popular topic, and State Street knows how to do this. They've been doing it for many, many years. You may also want to figure out how to write a book and tell your story in a diverse world. And Vice President, Senior Vice President from King Printing, Tom Campbell, is our roundtable presenter. And then resilience, overcoming challenges on and off the job. We have new speakers to our roundtable collection. We have Jody Tatiana Charles, who is with the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, and then Janine Taylor, who is an associate vice president over at Jobs for the Future. Janine has been with us before, but she's in a new company, new role, and we're bringing her in for this purpose. Then the Eversource Way Women in Energy Industries. We have Vera Admore Saki and also Alicine Francois. They're with the Eversource Utility Company here in the Greater Boston area. Then Massachusetts Commission on Women. We have Marie Doubleday. She's a regional commissioner, and Mary Diff Tuitt, who is one of the commissioners for the Mass Commission on Women. They're going to bring highlights and information from their vantage point. Then women in sports, the sports industry, the Red Sox story. We have Pam Ken. She's the vice president over at the Boston Red Sox. Again, it just gets better and better. Then we have building a D&I initiative inside your organization. This is a best practices roundtable that's going to be brought by Julia Burgess and Mike Halperin with the May Institute. Longtime supporters, they are one of our big supporters here, sponsors of the conference, and the May Institute is doing an excellent job relating to diversity and inclusion. And then a student's perspective. I'm really excited that we have two students lined up for you from Bentley University and also Mass College of Art. We'll announce their names next week. They're going to talk from a student's perspective. So we have students, we have emerging leaders, we have seasoned leaders. This is really going to be very multi-generational. It's going to be an exciting time. And then our closing speaker at the luncheon will be Dr. Velda McCray-Yates. She is the Executive Director of HR at the Mass College of Art and Design. She's going to close down the house, words of wisdom you just don't want to miss. So when it comes to diversity, does it make any difference if you're a man or a woman? We have men who are coming to this event. Several corporations are signing up. We have people in the hospitality community who are coming, hotel, HR, and senior executives will be there. This is going to be a wonderful occasion where you can hobnob with the best of the best. You can learn on these various topics, 8 different roundtable discussions, a panel that just surpasses none other. We have our keynote speaker in the morning and then a keynote speaker in the afternoon. By the time you leave, whoa, your head's going to be swimming with new information. That's how exciting this multicultural conference is. So you can go on over to mssconnect.com. That's M as in multicultural, S as in symposium, S as in symposium, mssconnect.com. Or you can just put my name in, Carol Copeland Thomas. That's Carol with an E, C-A-R-O-L-E, CopelandThomas.com. And that will take you to the same place where you can find out about the conference. You can go on and register. When you bring 3 or more to the conference, we give you a price break. You bring that 4th person for free. So you may want to get together and figure out how that can happen for your company. But this is going to be a great opportunity. We'll talk to you more about it next week. Just want to make sure that you have all the information. Go to CarolCopelandThomas.com. Come to the conference, learn, And most importantly, bring that important information back to your organization. Thanks so much for listening. Help out the University of the Virgin Islands and come to the November 2nd Multicultural Conference. We will talk to you next week. Take care.